Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Philippians 3, verse 12 says, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." He says, I don't think I've made it yet, but I'm pressing. And I'm trying to lay hold of everything that God has intended for my life. I want to live my calling. I want every bit of it, and I want everything that you made possible for me, Jesus. And I'm trying to lay hold of that. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this same mind. And if anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Paul says, "I want everything you got for me, God. I'm going after everything and I'm pressing. I'm pressing for it. And I want to live in everything that you've shown me. But I don't want to stay still. I want to move forward." You know, New Year, we're all going to get skinny now, right? Because New Year. And so we all have, matter of fact, see, we're already a week or so into this. So we've already made our New Year's resolutions and we've already forgot them. So, Paul says here, "I'm pressing forward." Let me ask you, what are you going to aim for this year? What are you going to press for? What are you going to dream about? What goals are you going to set in your life? You know, if you're not going after something, how will you know when you get there? Earl Nightingale said, "People with goals succeed because they know where they're going." I mean, you know, and if you're not going after anything, you're guaranteed success. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, "Well, what are you doing? What's going on in your life?" And they said, "Nothing." I said, "Well, what are you aiming for? What are you going after?" And they said, "Oh, nothing." I said, "Well, you're going to get there. Matter of fact, you're already there. You already completed that." Malcolm Forbes said, "When you cease to dream, you ceased to live." Walt Disney said, "All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them." Paul said, "I press. I press. I'm going after. I press." Let me ask you, are you, this is just a little, I want us just to think today, because I want to talk a little bit, and I'm believing that God's going to show us His heart a little bit for us. But are you pressing or are you just wishing? "I wish things would get better. I wish I had more. I wish this wasn't going on." Are you just wishing or are you pressing? "God, give me a plan to get where I want to go and then help me live that plan. Help me dream these dreams." You know, every one of us, God's given us dreams, and if you'll check, you've had dreams and visions inside of you since you can remember. The problem is, as time goes off, a lot of times we just let those things die. We let them just drift away, and How many know sometimes we just get so busy surviving that we forget about everything else? How many know sometimes surviving's pretty good? But God wants more for us. He wants more for us. Zig Ziglar said something. He said, what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. You know, God has made us in such a way that there's something in us that wants to achieve, that wants to move forward, that wants to excel, that wants to be more, that wants to get closer to Him. There's something in us, and He's given us the ability to use our faith to get whatever it is that we're going after. Isn't that neat? He puts an idea in you and in me. And if we just say, okay, yeah, that's where I want to go, that's what I want, then He begins to show us the plan, and then He begins to teach us how to use our faith, and then He begins to get us here. And you know, there's just something about a relationship with God when we can excel and when we can accomplish and we can give Him glory for it. How many feel better when you accomplish something than when you just don't do nothing? Now, I got to admit, we just did nothing this past week, and I enjoyed it. Huh? I mean, we didn't do nothing. I think we went and saw Star Wars. And I don't even like Star Wars, but I had fun, you know. But we didn't. One day, we just sit there and read all day. But you know, after a few days of doing nothing, man, I want to do something. Huh? How many know you feel better when you think about something, you're going to do this, you're going to accomplish that, you're going to go there, and when you excel and that comes to pass, you feel good. God's put that desire in us, and let me just say today as we start, that desire inside of you to have more and to be more is not from the devil. Trust me, He doesn't want you to have anything. He doesn't want you. He wants you to be religious. Because religion will keep you down. Religion will keep you broke. Religion will keep you in bondage. But life, the Word of God, the life-giving Word, will bring your life alive. The letter of the law kills. Oh, but the Spirit brings life. And that desire in you is God-given. And the enemy's, he's lied to us. How many would at least agree that he's lied to us? You don't know what I'm going to say yet, but you know he's lied anyway, because Jesus said he's the father of lies. He's lied to us. But what Zig was saying was as you're achieving goals, you become more. It does something to you. It makes you more. How many face some things now and you just look at them now and you say, no, devil, get behind me. You just look at them now and you go, no, I'm not putting up with that. But maybe a year or two ago, you'd spend weeks and weeks wrestling that. And what happened? You became more. God built something into you. Can you apply that to whatever it is you're going through now? And realize that this is just for a season? And He's building something into you that you're going to need? The next time that this kind of opportunity arises around you, you're going to go, no, get behind me, devil. No, I'm not thinking those thoughts anymore. See, you become more. You become more. Paul said, I'm trying to lay hold of everything Jesus has laid hold of for me. Now I want to start talking to something about something. And I want to try to show you a little bit of God's heart real quick here. But how many know we almost, Christians, we've been taught to almost feel guilty if we get too blessed. We've been, you know, we believe God to bless us, but we're afraid of the blessing. And whatever you do, preacher, don't talk about money in church. Well, let me just say something. That's what religion has brought to us. And I want to begin, and it won't get accomplished today, but I want to begin for us to see God's heart. I want us to begin to see things different, because if you think different, you'll live different. I want us to begin to see how God sees all this thing. And to do some of the things that I think God's lining up for us to do as a church. Folks, I can't get up here anymore and be afraid to say anything about money. I can't be afraid to get up here and preach the prosperity message. Because some of the things He's got for us to do, we can't do it if we're broke. You alive? Don't fall out with me. Don't fall out with me. See, I'm not saying worship it. I'm not saying worship mammon. I'm not saying anything, but I want to see how God looks at all this. Because I've experienced some prosperity. But I'm not nowhere where I'm supposed to be. And neither are you. Huh? So I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm just going to do like Paul said. I'm going to press. Because I want all you got for me, God. I want to be all I can be for you. I just realized there's, you know, I'm closer to the going out end than I am the coming in end. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And I'm just beginning to realize, holy God, things you told me when I first got saved in the first few years, those things haven't come to pass yet. And it's not your fault, it's mine. So God, I want a little refreshing here. Slap a little of that old fresh blood on my beak. I want a little vitamin booster shot from you. Huh? And I need someone here. I need someone here to dream with me. I need somebody here to dream with me. And I don't care. I wish it'd be all of you, but I need somebody to dream with me. Because there's folks out here going to hell. In our town, not in Nigeria, in our town, in our area. And I want them to know this Jesus that I've met and that I'm getting to know. I want them to know this God that I'm starting to see, don't you? Well, I'll just start off this way. God wants His creation to enjoy all the goodness that He created here. Just start with that thought. And so when something good happens to you, don't feel bad about it. When somebody walks up and blesses you, don't feel bad about it. When those blessings come to you, don't feel bad about it. Because that's God's intent. That's His heart. Well, let's go back to Genesis. We're going to read the whole Bible today. And we'll get done after a while. Well, lost a bunch of you then, I know. But let me go to Genesis 12. I just want us to see, how does God, He started this thing by creating everything and then creating us. His man, and putting him in the middle of everything that He created, and said, "Now go subdue it, go enjoy it, go have dominion." Okay, and we know the story. But he looks for a long, long time to find some way to get back in the earth, and he finds a guy named Abraham. And this is what he tells to Abraham. Can y'all listen for a couple minutes? This is what he tells Abraham in chapter 12, Genesis. He says, Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the next verse says, so Abraham departed as the Lord said. God spoke to him and Abraham moved. It says, and Lot went with him. But drop down to verse 7. It says, a little later on, after he's done this, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I'll give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now listen to me. We just read this stuff and it just goes by us. How many think if you own some land on Range Line, you'd be pretty well off? I mean, how many just like to own a couple acres there? You don't want to? Well, then say, give my couple acres to Hank. I mean, how many think that this might be a good deal? How many know you'd smile a little bit more than you frowned if you owned a few acres on? And especially there was four or five big corporations coming in here to fight over who got to buy it from you and how many millions they had to give you for it. I'll give you the land is the first thing he said. The first thing God said, he didn't say, straighten up your life, live for me, do it. The first thing he said in this agreement is, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give it to you. I want to give you something. Now you can read all this for yourself. The land, in chapter 15, it talks about the land. It says, for your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And I'm not going to pronounce all of it, but all these knights and kites and all that, it all belonged to them. And God said, I've given it to you. I gave you Webb City. I gave you Carthage. I gave you Neosho. He gave you all this land. I give it to you and your descendants. The very first thing God did was, he said, let me give you something. Oh, I don't want to ask the Lord for nothing. Well, maybe we are where we are because of how we think, and maybe if we begin to think different, we will move to a new land, to a different place with God. Huh? Is that okay? Don't fall out with me. We're not going to take an offering. You won't ever hear me talking about worshiping money. But what I see happening in the body of Christ is, you know, you go to all the Eastern religions and all that, none of them are afraid to have money, but Christians are. Because it's the root of all evil. Well, you need to read your Bible. It isn't the root of all evil. The love of it is the root of all evil. So we're not going to love it. And just because some people get the message and they get greedy and they rape God's sheep and they take advantage of people, that doesn't mean we have to do it. See, I've learned that I can have some things and still be going after God with all my heart. You hearing me? And if I'm not going after God with all my heart, it doesn't matter how much stuff I have, I won't be satisfied and I won't be happy. So Paul's first thing there, he says, I'm going after God with all my heart. That's what he says. Because he says, I may know you in the power of your resurrection. Are you with me? But just because you can love God with all your heart, you can see people get saved and still have some money. They won't conflict if you don't let them conflict. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Man, I'm going to get to where I can talk this stuff and not be worried about, if you know me, if you've been around long enough to know me, then you'll love me anyway because you know that I'm going to try to get you closer to God, okay? But he goes on down here in 13. This is after Abraham's done it. And this is how the Word of God describes Abraham. Are you ready? Abraham was very rich. Everybody say very rich. If you're afraid, just say very rich. But if you're not afraid, go very rich. I just had to do that to wake some of y'all up. He was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. I don't want to care about nothing on this earth. God made this earth for us to care about. I love it. I love it. You go on. We know the story about Lot and Abraham. And in verse 5 it says, Lot also, who was with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. You see, I believe I'm supposed to be blessed, so blessed that if you even hang around with me, you're going to be blessed. You alive? Huh? Go tell somebody that's Jewish that they're not supposed to be blessed. Try to convince them that they're not supposed to be blessed and have wealth. And try to convince. No, they walk with a confidence. They know the promise that God's given them. And that's what I want. That's the way I want us to walk. Not just going after that stuff, but going after Him. But see, I can go after Him and not use my faith for things, and those things will never manifest themselves in my life. Well, I know somebody and they love the Lord with all their heart and they don't have anything. I know, and it, that God doesn't love them any less. It's just that they're not using their faith for all God has for them. That makes sense? If you don't mind a little muddy water, we'll get it cleared up in the next few weeks. How about that? But it says, and Lot went with him, had flocks and herds and tents. Now listen to this. Now the land was so not able, the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Folks, the devil sold us a lie. This isn't stuff that they had to go out and try to get. This is stuff God wanted to add to them. This isn't stuff that they had to make their God. They just had to worship their God, and He'd give them the stuff. But they had to believe Him. They had to believe Him for His goodness. Let's go down here to 14. It says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Now you know the story. Lot, they separated, and so Abraham told Lot, said, will you pick out which land you want? Well, Lot looked over and he picked out the one with the green grass and the trees and the water and left old Abraham the desert. But this is what the Lord told Abraham. See, I'm telling you what, man, if you're walking with the Lord, there's just not anything anybody can do or the devil can do that's going to stop God from blessing you. Huh? This is what he told Abraham. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look north, south, east, west. For all the land which you see, I give it to you and your descendants forever. You hear that? How far can you see, Abraham? As far as you can see, I give it to you. And then he tells him in verse 17, he says, arise and walk the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. Abraham, start stepping it off, buddy. Just start stepping it off. We'll see it in a little bit. He says, every place your foot touches is yours. Matter of fact, Psalms 37 says that our steps are ordered by the Lord. I wasn't going to read that. I'm going to read that if I can find it. It's so good. So good. 37 verse 23 says the steps. Now let's back up to 22. For those blessed by Him. Who's Him? Come on, wake up with me for a couple minutes and we'll get done. Those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Those blessed by God will do what? They'll inherit the earth. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now I love what David says here. David says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I haven't ever seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. You know how long I'm going to listen to a preacher begging for money? About that long. About that long. Had a preacher a few years back. Some of you know him. If I'd call his name, I won't. But he called me and he is wanting to get on. He is wanting me to put him on our giving list, on our missionary list. And I said, you know what? After he tried that a couple times, I said, you know what you need to do? You just need to go get a job. He didn't bother me anymore. Anyway. Anyway, now, this is what God's taught. Let me read you something out of Galatians. Where is Galatians? There it is. Listen to this. Galatians 3 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now this is why verse 14 is why he became a curse for us. Okay, this is the why. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him, through faith. Are you putting this together? You can get in this book and find this stuff out for yourself. And until you find it out for yourself, it won't work very good for you. Okay? See, I just believe this year there's going to be a bunch of you that's going to get totally out of debt. You're not going to owe any man anything but to love him. And when God has something good, you're going to be able to help God do what the good that he wants to do because you don't have a big pile of bills. You're not a servant to the lender. Well, that's enough for you to grab a hold of that right now and just make a decision if that's you. And let me tell you, don't worry about it because it's a long way from a bedpan to a brain surgeon, okay? It's not going to happen overnight. But if you decide to go there, nothing can stop you from going there. Huh? Why? Well, because God created you in his image. And then Jesus came to get back everything that he gave us to start with. And now Jesus said, you'll not only be able to do the things that I do, but you'll be able to do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Whew. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where I'm at here. So go on down here. It says the promise. What's the promise? What was the promise? What did he promise Abraham? He said, I'm giving you all this land. What were the results of that promise? What were the results of what God promised Abraham? He was very rich. Everybody say very rich. In cattle, silver, gold, and everything else that this earth has that's identified with rich. What's the promise? Then he said, so that the blessings of Abraham might come on us. Verse 26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. Folks, that's in your Bible. And you can wish, oh, I wish, or you can press. You know what I do when I see stuff like this and I'm believing for something? I just get this and I just read back to God what he said to me. Huh? I just read it back. See, I had a chance here the last week or so to take whatever this thing is going around. Somebody said, I'm just a little under the weather. And I said, well, don't be under there. Get out from under there. So I've had that bug. We'll kill that sucker, man. Now, I'm not saying I won't have an opportunity after a while, okay? But you know what I've been doing? I've been reading this. I've been going through here. And, oh, Father, you said, by your stripes, Jesus, I'm healed. I got over in Isaiah 53, and I started reading that to God. And I said, you know what? You said all this, and you said all this for me. And, Jesus, you did all this for me. And, devil, you're a liar. And I just read the word back. Why? Well, because Isaiah 55 says that his word won't come back to him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do. So I just say, Father, I'm sending this back to you. You said the same blessings on Abraham. Come to me. I'm sending this back to you. It'll produce. It won't be fruitless. It'll produce what you sent it to do. It'll cause it to happen in my life. Now I don't have to spend every minute of the day looking to see if it's going to happen. No, I'm just going to walk on because it's going to happen. We're going to get this, Kenny, after if Jesus tarries. We're going to get this, man. Well, see, if you can see God's heart, see, religion tells you, oh, that's bad. But God's heart says, man, I made it all for you. It's all yours. Take it. Huh? See, read some Isaiah 55, Jack. Just read some back to him. Say, man, this is what you did, Jesus. I didn't do this. You did it, man. Those stripes, you did that. Hallelujah! Well, I believe. No, press. Push. The devil's pushing on you. He's pressing on you. He believes this word of God a lot more than we do because he operates it against us. He just gets us to fear instead of have faith. He just gets us to believe his lies because he knows anything we can believe we will achieve. I just don't believe the Lord wants me to have much. You're right. You get it. Well, I want you to see his heart for you. Let's look at a few more Deuteronomy, and we'll quit here in a couple minutes. I might not get everything done I wanted to, but that's okay. Because the Holy Spirit will get everything done in your heart that he wants to. Okay? So I don't take myself too serious anymore. I'm just up here to let him try to do something through me. And if I look like a fool, if he still does something in your heart, then that's all that matters. If I make a mistake, if he still does something in your heart, that's all that matters. If you leave here a little bit closer to him than you were when you came in, that's all that matters. It isn't whether anybody did a good job. No, he's the only thing that matters. And he's good. Woo! Glory to God. And you're going to be blessed this year, not because the economy is getting better, and the economy is going to be better than it's ever been in your lifetime this year. Mark it down. But that's not why you're blessed, or that's not why I'm blessed. We're blessed because we've entered into God's kingdom. We've entered in there and we're operating in kingdom rules, and we use our faith, and we go into these situations in life, and we use our faith in God's word instead of our head knowledge and how we can maneuver and trick and all the rest of that. Because God's word will work every time. So I'm going to try to stay true. I'm going to try to stay honest. I'm going to continue to check. I'm going to continue to go after him with all my heart. Why? Because I haven't even begun to see all he wants me to get a hold of yet. And I don't want to get to heaven and look back and say, this is what you could have had. This is what it could have been. This is how you could have been. This is could have what you could have got done. Deuteronomy 11. Where are we at? 24. Where is 11:24? Oh, there it is. This is the land again that he promised Abraham. Now Deuteronomy is Moses given discourses as he's getting ready to die, and he's given a discourse that he's wrapping all this, pulling all this together. And you ought to go read Deuteronomy this week, because he's telling the whole picture here, the whole story of God's kids from coming out of Egypt to the whole thing. And he starts this thing off with, he starts Deuteronomy off with saying, he says, Moses, he said, it's an 11-day journey from Moab to the Mount Seir. Whatever that is. He said it's a 7-day journey, and what he goes on and says, you've taken 40 years to take an 11-day journey, and he goes on here, and you need to read it. He says, haven't you gone around this mountain long enough? And if you'll check the route of the Israelites in the wilderness, they go around in a circle, around in a circle for 40 years, get up to the promised land to go across, and they don't go across. And for 40 years, they go around the same old mountain. And I ask you today, haven't you gone around that mountain long enough? When are you going to go in and possess? He says, this is what he's telling Moses now. He's renewing the promise. Because all through the Old Testament, he renews the promise. And then in Galatians, he says, the promise is yours, Hank, because what Jesus did. Every place which the sole of your feet treads shall be yours. From the wilderness in Lebanon, and from the rivers and the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. He goes on and says, nobody will be able to stand against you. In other words, nothing can stop my blessing from coming on you. Will you just believe me? No one can stop it. Well, let's look real quick, because I've got to hurry here. Verse 29 says, now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you'll put the blessings on the mount, and you'll praise him for it. But I want you to get the phrase I want you to get is that you go in to possess. Verse 31 says, when you cross over the Jordan. This is what Moses is telling the people. He's not going to get to cross with them. But he's saying, when you cross over the Jordan and go and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. He goes on and says what we studied about a few weeks ago. He goes on and said, this is the rest that I had for you, and you never entered in. And then when he goes to Joshua, the first thing, you know, he tells Moses, he says, the Lord has said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants, and I've caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. He's telling Moses, but you don't get to go. He goes on then and he tells Joshua the same thing. He says, man, my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, go you and all the people, go into the land that I'm giving you. He says, every place that your sole of your foot treads will be yours. I've given it to you. And he goes on. And how he says to get it, he says, man, get in this book of the law. He said, meditate in it day and night. He said, don't drift from it to the left or to the right, but get in this thing, meditate in it. Think about it all day. Think about it all night. And it'll cause you to have good success. It'll make your way prosperous. Well, I'm not expecting you to get all this, but I'm expecting something to shift inside of you. And everybody just say something right now. Say, Holy Spirit, help me think different. Didn't mean what you're thinking's bad, but just help me to think different. I pray all the time, God, would you open up those parts of my mind that are closed, because I'm hard-headed. Would you just open up those things that I can't see yet? That's what Proverbs says that the wisdom and the gold is, by the way, or the gold and the silver is. It's the wisdom and the understanding of God. That's what Solomon asked for. Instead of asking for the gold and silver, he asked for the wisdom of God. And bless God, he ended up being the richest man in the world. Where am I at here? Go in and possess it. I want to go back to Deuteronomy 8 real quick. Verse 7, he says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Could you just believe that much today? He's bringing you into a good land. He's bringing your marriage into a good land. You're about to give up on your marriage. He says, man, I'm about to open this thing up, and it's going to be bigger and better than you could ever imagine. I sat there last week with my bride of 43 years, not doing nothing. And I just thought, you know, God, we did a lot of things when we was back on the beginning end of this and thought we was having a lot of fun, but I wouldn't switch places now for nothing in the world. Huh? Because we're good together. He wants to take you into the good land. I don't know who that was for, but take it, because I didn't think about that ahead of time. Where am I at? What am I doing here? Oh, I'm down here in 7:4. For the Lord your God is bringing you into the good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. You realize he's talking about everything that's good in life at that time. It says, in olive oil and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity. Oh, listen. In which you will lack nothing. Oh, God, let us see your heart. A land whose stones are iron and whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, that word full means satisfied in excess. It's the same that they did when they fed the 5,000 or the 20,000 with a few fish and a few loaves, and they got done. I mean, they fed them. They were all full, and they still took up 12 baskets full. Excess. When you shall, and then you shall bless the Lord. Bless God for the good land which He has given you. That's all God wants from us. He wants to give us so much, do so much in our life, touch our lives, our bodies, our marriages, our kids, touch our lives so much that we get done. We are so full of His goodness, we can't do nothing but fall on our face and praise Him. Oh, God. I want them to hear it, but let me hear it, Lord. He goes on here in verse 18, and he says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Why? That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. He gives us the power to get wealth. Now let me tell you something. After He gives you that power, you can go on and keep making wealth without Him. But you're missing the point. You can know enough about business and enough about dealings and enough about the world system that you can just keep on. A friend of mine was a millionaire, and he went bankrupt 3 or 4 times, and he came back, and I asked him once when he was on the downside. He said, it doesn't bother me to be down, Hank. I can just go make it again. I said, well, it bothers me if I lose it. Just honest. So He can establish His covenant. I want you to understand what He's saying here. He said, Hank, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand how much I love you. And I want you to understand. And let me real quick in Hebrews, the new code, he says in Hebrews 8, he says, but now He who has obtained a more excellent ministry, Jesus, inasmuch as He is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Better? Better? Oh, that was for them in the old days. I know, and it's supposed to be better for me. He goes on here and talks about the covenant, man, and I'm not going to read all that. He says, I'll put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And he goes on, he says, you won't have to tell somebody about knowing the Lord because they'll know. You won't have to teach them how to know the Lord because I'll be talking to them. I want you to see, he goes on, he says, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. I'll forgive their sins. I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Get this, get God's heart. The old covenant was great. God promised big things, but it was conditional. But I want you to see out of it. I don't want to get into all the law, old and new, but I want you to see the difference in God's heart. God, when Adam sinned in the garden and separated him and God, God looked at him and said, Adam, what did you do? Eve, what did you do? See, I don't see him yelling at him and screaming at him and preaching hellfire and brimstone. I see him with a broken heart. I made all this so I could express to you how much I love. I did all this so I could express a part of me that the universe has never seen before. And he starts trying to find a way to get back in. Why? Because his heart was for us. And he finally finds Abraham because Abraham will do what he says without asking questions, and he'll tell his kids to do what they say without asking questions. That make sense? And help me, Lord. He says the first thing he says, Abraham, I'm going to give you all this. He says, I'm going to give you my creation. I'm going to give you the ability to get wealth. I want you to see. I'm trying to express my love to you. Oh, but see, in the new covenant, it's different now. Oh, now he doesn't have to try. Now Jesus went and just took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. I mean, he kicked every demon in the behind that needed kicking in the behind. I mean, he tore hell up. I mean, he destroyed principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. And now I have a high priest, a better mediator of a better covenant. Because now I can walk with my God. I can walk with him and I can experience his goodness. And I'm not looking at his goodness to tell if I'm walking with him. I'm walking with him because I know in my heart my Father's with me. I'm walking with him. I'm fellowshipping with him. And before he had to, you have to do this and this and this, and then I can come down and talk to you. Oh, but now, Hag, I can be in your heart all the time. In fact, I'll send my spirit down to live in you. So we can walk together and talk together, and I can show you the mysteries of the universe. I can show you how to do millions of things out of a peanut. I can show you how to split an atom. I can show you the big thing. I can cause those things that you dream about to come to pass. Well, what did he say in Ephesians 3, and I'm going to quit? What did he say in Ephesians 3, or in Ephesians 2? He said, verse 10, he said, Hank, I created you. You are my workmanship. I created you in Christ Jesus so that you could walk in all the good works that I prepared for you beforehand. Get his heart, and he'll help you work everything else out. Get his heart. And nobody will have to stand up here and tell you don't do this and don't do that. Get his heart. Get his heart. His heart's for you. His heart loves you. get his heart. So I just pray now, God, just let me see your heart. We can work the other stuff out. Let me tell you, there's lots of stuff in me that needs to be worked out. And he's working it out. And some's fun, and some's not fun. But he's working it out. He says, and he's the one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. So glorify him. Glorify him. How do you glorify him? Can I show you John real quick? You got a second? Huh? Restaurant, I'm going to believe God. Give them all favor when they get to wherever they're going to eat. And let them be first in line and let it all be good for them. John chapter 15, listen to this. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. I'm sorry, I had to wake those up back there. They were sleeping. Ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Okay, but this is the good one, the next verse. It says, by this my Father is glorified. How? That I'm asking the things that I'm desiring and he's able to do them. You're not getting that. Let me do it again. Ask what, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. What's the fruit he's talking about there? He's talking about walking with Father. He's talking about me talking stuff with Father. Like this morning, I go outside and it starts to rain. I said, no, Lord, I'm turning this in Jesus' name. Don't let this come till after the folks get to church because some of them won't come if it's sprinkling. And it stopped. Wish some of you would just make your mind up, I'm gone if it's snow's 4 foot high. And that way I wouldn't have to do that every Sunday. No, but understand, what's the fruit? The fruit is Father being able to do good things in my life and me being so grateful and so with so much gratitude that I just want to serve him with every fiber of my being, that I don't want anything inside of me that separates me from him. Well, let's just quit. I bring him glory when he's able to do things in my life. In the Old Testament, read it. Every time he did it, they made an altar, man. Every time they did it, every time he did it, they went, whoa, we know where that came from, Father. We worship you. Every time he visited them, oh, we'll put up pillars here. We'll make pillars here, boy. This is where we talk to you. Now, he's right here. So I'm going to try to make this the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to try to make this a place where he can abide. Oh, that's good. I feel like I'm just getting started on a sermon, maybe next week. If you can think different, you'll live different. Was this okay today? I didn't ask you for any money. I didn't tell you how to gab it and grab it. But if you'll listen to me for a few weeks here, and I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't miss any for the next few weeks. Okay? You know, some people, everybody teaches different and does different. Frank is a, this guy's got a mind. He's a teacher. I listen to him teach and I just stand in awe of you, Frank. I'm so thankful that you're here sharing this with us. Some teachers are that way. I'm different. I get a little something in my spirit and then I start trying to figure out how to say it, how to relay it to you, how to express it, how to live it. but it just comes a little old thing in here. And sometimes it has to come out stupid two or three times before it really makes sense. But I get this something in here, and it makes me want to go after it. Everybody's different. And I spent most of my life trying to be like somebody else. And then I learned, no, I can be like me, and it'll be okay. Why did I say that? You don't have to live where anybody else is living. You just have to be you, and it'll be okay. And God wants to take you right where you are. Don't look at somebody that's way, way up there someplace. You can look and say, I'll be there someday, but just look right where you are, and it's okay to be right where you are. Just look at the next step and just take another step with the Lord. And then just keep stepping. Just keep stepping off your land. Just keep stepping it off. He says, I'll give it to you. Every place your soul treads, then Father, I'm going to tread into the deeper things of you. I'm going to go after you with all my heart. Does that make sense? So, hey, and if you, I got to quit, but don't let, we'll be talking about prosperity. We'll be talking about God blessing us. But whether you have some or don't have some, that's not an indication of your spirituality. And don't get misled. Because some of the most spiritual people in the world, the closest people to God, don't have much. But I'm trying to tell you, you can be that close to God and still have stuff. Because you're the one that God made all the stuff for. Well, let me take that, not all the stuff, but all the good stuff. Does that make sense? Holy Spirit, help us know. Teach us what we just heard. Teach me what I just spoke. God, we want to live for you, and we want to be closer to you. We want all that you got for us. So, Father, we're going to push. We're going to press. I'm not going to look at yesterday's failures. I'm not going to look at yesterday's successes. I just want to push forward with you. And I just want to reach forward. I just want more of you. And if I can just get your heart, everything will take care of itself. If I can just get closer to you, Lord, we can figure the rest of this stuff out. Because you're good. Because you're good. We love you. In Jesus' name. Somebody here, you don't know that you're saved. If that's you, that's why you're here today, to ask Him. And I'm going to do it real quick here. I'm going to do it different. I'm just going to say this, and you ask Him into your heart. And then after I dismiss you, I'd like for those of you that ask Him into your heart or rededicate your life to come down, I'd like to give you some stuff to help you get on your way with the Lord. But if there's a question, if you don't know that you're right with God right now, just say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I'm giving you my life. I ask you to do something with it. I want to live for you, but I need your help. So right now, Father, I thank you for that, and I receive that. That's how simple it is. And if you prayed that, or if you didn't and you want to, as soon as we dismiss here, come on down. Let some of us pray with you. In fact, if you have anything you want to pray about, come down. One of us will pray with you. If you need to be baptized, we have Raymond, I think, going to baptize today. If you need to be baptized in water, we have somebody ready. Have robes, towels, everything you need. Just because I talked too long, don't let that stop you from getting what you came to get, okay? So I love you. And I'm believing God to let you see His heart. I'm believing Him to do things in your life this day and this week that are exceedingly more than you've ever asked or thought. Because He's God. And when He does it, what are we going to do? We're going to give Him the praise and the glory, right? Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for putting up with me. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. I'm believing this to be one of the best years that you've ever had. And I think God's got some think God's got some nuggets for us in the next few weeks. So, hey, I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor for 15 years. I hope you don't want to get rid of me yet. Keep me a few more weeks anyway. I love you and I speak His blessings on you. You have a great day and a great week.